James chapter 2. My brethren, oh, by the way, kids, listen to this passage. You might find something that we talked about already today. Okay? My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, "You sit here in a good place," and you say to the poor man, "You stand over there or sit by my footstool," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law's transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not commit murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, if it has no works, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. James 2:5. Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? We are deep in the midst of our consideration of the biblical doctrine of heaven. We are using Dr. Donnelly's message series as the framework around which we are seeking after the Lord to reveal his heart with regard to heaven. In our prior considerations, we began to see that Jesus Christ is heaven's lamp. It is Christ who brings us to heaven. He has redeemed us through his death and resurrection. He is the one who equips us to live in heaven through the working of the Holy Spirit in applying his word into our lives. He is also our constant source of sustenance through his perpetual ministry on our behalf as our perfect high priest. As well, it will be Christ whom we clearly see in heaven. He will be revealed in all His glory to us, and we will be able to see Him in all His perfect beauty and holiness. This then brings us to this morning's study, that Christ is the very heart of heaven's blessings. As James tells us, God chose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him. Our inheritance is Jesus Christ. The richness that is ours is all set in Jesus Christ. At the heart of this blessing of richness is covenant theology. Quote, "That may seem an intimidating term, but it is essentially a straightforward and thrilling truth. The covenant is the means through which God brings His people to heaven, and at the heart of the covenant is the idea of a representative. God deals with human beings through a covenant head, a mediator, someone who acts on our behalf." End quote. Many of you have probably heard of the example as expressed by Thomas Goodwin. Quote, "He imagines two great giants, one called Adam and the other Christ. Each is wearing an enormous leather girdle or belt with millions of hooks on it. You and I and all humanity are hanging either at Adam's belt or at Christ's belt. There is no other option, no other place for us. And God deals with us only through Adam or through Christ. If you are hanging at Adam's belt, you share in the experience of sinful, fallen Adam, and your entire relationship with God is through Him. But if you are hanging at Christ's belt, all God's dealings with you are through Christ. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are involved in a massive and momentous transfer. The Almighty Himself unhooked you from Adam's belt and hooked you onto Christ's. So you now have a different head, a different mediator, a new representative. You have passed from Adam into Christ, and whereas God formerly dealt with you only through Adam, He now deals with you only through His Son. You are in Christ, unchangeably and forever." End quote. This is why union with Christ is such a vital reality in our lives. We are now united with Him in every facet and aspect of His life. His life. Not our life, His life. It is impossible for a true believer, one who has been hooked to Christ's belt by God Himself, to ever truly fall away. We are secured by the very hand of God. This union with Christ is at the very core of our being transformed into His likeness. Romans 6:5-13. "For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Our lives in union with Christ are also united in His holiness, because we desire to be holy as He is holy. We are sanctified because we have now died with Christ and have been resurrected with Him. We are to live our lives in line with this truth. We suffer in this life because we are joined to Christ and we partake of His suffering. And we partake of His suffering for what reason? For the sake of others. As He suffered for us, we are joined to Him for the sake of others. 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Because we are in Christ, united to Him in this covenant relationship, we no longer fear death. 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 22. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Everything we receive, everything we have, everything we are, everything we hope for, everything that we rejoice in, everything we deserve now in the eyes of God is in Jesus Christ. We are in Him, irrevocably and eternally joined to Him. And that is how God deals with us, in Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'm going to take you on the journey that I undertook in Scripture to see what it means to be in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:11, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free
from the law of sin and of death. Verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 12:5. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Romans 15:17. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. 1 Corinthians 1:2-3. To those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 4-8. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 30 and 31. But by His doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:20-22. For as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are yes. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. 2 Corinthians 2:14-17. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in His triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, an aroma from death to death, to the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I told you, I lost myself in Christ. Galatians 2:16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 3:14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Verses 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verses 9 through 12. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Verses 18 through 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 2:4 through 7. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it goes. on and on. In Christ Jesus, in Him, in Jesus, in Christ. We have such an overflowing catalog of the richness of the blessing that is ours in Jesus Christ. Everything is purposed, set, fulfilled, and accomplished in Jesus Christ. Every aspect of God's dealings with us, from His great love with which He loved us, to our salvation, our justification, our sanctification, our glorification, our eternal inheritance of life, every blessing is in Jesus Christ. We need to know this. We need to understand this. It is very sad. There are many, many Christians who look at Jesus Christ as the bus driver. He gets us to heaven. But once we get there, He opens the door, we exit the bus, and it's centered around us in some fashion. How can anyone think that our relationship will change once we get to heaven? It is only through Jesus Christ and in Him that we will get to heaven. It is only in and through Him that God will ever deal with us. It is imperative that we utterly and completely see that our relationship with Christ can never come to an end. That is why it is so ludicrous to think that anyone will get to heaven apart from Him. We will rely and depend upon Jesus Christ in heaven as much, if not more, than we rely and depend upon Him in this current life. He is our everything, and we can never separate ourselves from that absolute reality. Jesus Christ is the heart, soul, and essence of all the blessings of heaven. Amen. Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? Amen.